This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Greetings, my friends. We are all interested in the future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives. And remember, my friends, future events such as these will affect you in the future. You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the, I want to say, 8th? Time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened on that fateful day. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimonies of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friends, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Let us punish the guilty. Let us reward the innocent. My friend, can your heart stand the shocking facts about Rude Tales of Magic Presents Weird Times in Piss Harbor?
Thanks, Grave Freaker. And thank you, Ed Wood, for writing tonight's intro. Listeners, for your chance to write a Grave Freaker intro, write in to 1-800-EAT-SHIT. Tell them how my driving is. They're dying to know. And hey, speaking of dying, somebody's dying up there right now. It sounds like, at least. We're still on the outside of the Mon Capitaine, Piss Harbor's oldest theater. We're still lingering around outside when... Wait a second. Who's that we see? Cohen, who are we looking at out here outside of the Mon Capitaine?
Oh, well, you see, outside the Mon Capitaine Theater... And I promise this is not a sarcastic impression of you, Branson. Fairies with huge R-crumb asses power twin spotlights so bright they permanently blind several bats flying overhead, forcing them to invent echolocation. Human pets, clad in the finest eagle skin leather, are tied up to a hitching post out front of the theater. One of them gives another a sly wink and says, "We made it, buddy. All them years at the Royal Human Pet Academy finally paid off," before both are obliterated by a triple-decker carriage with no wheels, being dragged by a team of rare, inverted zebras. Emerging from the carriage is a spoiled, pampered, prince of the city type, wearing a fur coat made of whichever animal you personally would find most upsetting. He clutches a ticket in a fist bejeweled with unearned rings. Printed on that ticket are the words, "Presto Cadabra is the Mouth of Magic."
Oh my god, what an intro. This guy, he steps out of the carriage. What's his name?
Is this That's up to you? I did not say it's just this guy for the rest of the script.
Oh, good. It's just this guy. Oh, great, great. Yes, out of the carriage spits James Spit. James Spit walks out of the carriage, flashing his tickets. He tosses them to the ticket taker, who is incinerated by them. They slice his head off, and he falls to dust, and he walks inside of the theater. And inside...
Oh, well, Inside, a lavish theater filled to the brim with the elite of Piss Harbor, all of them watching the man on the stage in what should be rapt attention, but is actually they don't like it. He's tall enough to be uncomfortable on airplanes, dressed in a black suit with a red vest and bow tie, complete with a matching cape. He's also wearing a silk top hat with a red band, pulled down over his eyes so that all you can see of his face is an enormous mouth with teeth as long as your fingers. He makes a rhinestone wand dance across his fingers, then taps it against a deck of cards. The cards fly out of the deck, forming the words Presto Cadabra above his head before bursting into flame. He puts the wand up to his mouth and takes a long drag, inhaling the flames, holds it in a few seconds, then vomits a full deck of cards into his cupped hands.
Cullen, can I have you make a performance roll?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to. So he attempts to do all that stuff, and we'll see how that goes. I rolled a 20, and my modifier is plus 6. Okay. Sorry. So that's like a 26. That so how's sucks, that? How is that?
Yeah, the front row is atomized. It's just like Sarah Connor clutching the chain link fence in T2. Just like they're reduced to skeletons. They are so impressed.
With a wave of his wand, the ashes form a new crowd of different people with different memories who believe that they've always been there.
The rest of the audience is cheering. They are throwing, they're spinning their shirts above their heads. Old enemies are shaking hands. Children are high-fiving their parents. This is a huge hit. That was a massive success. The people are chanting your name. What name is that?
Why, that name, again, is Presto Cadabra. And let's have a round of applause for my lovely assistant, Ali Kazam.
Thank you, Mr. Cadabra. Is it time to go fetch someone from the audience to be a volunteer?
Now, Jess, hold on. Who is this that's talking like the TikTok voice that explains there is a man in the car. He is driving across a hole.
Well, this is Presto Cadabra's beautiful human assistant, Ali Kazam. She's wearing a sparkly, sequined, very distracting outfit and the fakest smile you've ever seen. And she's caked in so much glamour makeup that she's teetering towards the uncanny valley. And Miss Kazam scans the audience for a volunteer.
Yeah, yeah. Find us somebody good. Find us somebody rich and important.
I'm looking right now.
Can you make a perception roll for me?
All right, I need to have like dice out. And oh, that's a 2.
A 2. The house lights are not on. And in fact, it's so dark, the only thing you can see is the blinding light of the richest man in the theater. He's so rich that he comes with his own light. He's waving his hand. He says, "Ooh, me. My name is James Spitt, you know, from 2 minutes ago."
Oh my goodness. Is that who I think it is? That's James Spitt, the governor's son.
A prince of the city indeed. Get him on up here, Allie.
And like she flashes a look of amused and incredulity at Presto, but keeps her smile completely frozen on her face. Wow, the governor's son. This is so exciting. And she clicks down the stage stairs in her little shiny stilettos and goes to usher up James Spitt.
Yeah, he really makes a meal out of it. He like takes your hand very gingerly. He's waving to the crowd who do not seem interested in James Spitt. Yeah, he arrives on stage and he takes a deep bow. He says, thank you. I am the governor's son. Traditionally, the richest man in all of Piss Harbor.
We love audience participation.
Don't we just. Let's have a round of applause for our brave volunteer, everybody. Oh, yeah.
The crowd goes wild. Piss Harbor is a city so big it has a governor. He waves back to them.
Ah, you're gonna love this, Pops. Check this out. And Presto is going to raise his rhinestone studded wand, and a table emerges from the stage. Stage style. Ropes spring from the table and wrap around. Sorry, was that Guy Spitt?
James Spitt,
my mistake.
Guy Spitt is the governor himself. This is his son, James, who is richer than the governor.
I'm still writing the governor's son on all my checks. Yeah, ropes spring from the table and wrap around James Spitt's wrists and ankles, pulling him to the table and binding him fast, horizontally.
Oh, dear. Oh, my. I've been... Oh, okay. Well, I hope safety awaits me.
Ah, keep hoping. Presto's going to raise his wand and say, "Here we go." And a spinning saw blade is going to appear about 20 feet up and begin slowly descending from the ceiling. Now, as you can see, that there's a deadly saw blade coming straight for this guy. But maybe you're thinking that ain't real, huh? You're thinking it's a fake saw blade. I see you. I see your doubt. Check this out. He's going to bend over and pull a quarter out of James Spitz's ear and flip it up at the saw blade. And halfway up, it is going to turn into a pigeon and then hit the saw blade, spraying a quarter of a cup of blood over not a lot of the stage.
You will get wet.
So because this is your show, I'm going to let you roll a performance roll with advantage on that. I think you've done this before, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ali Kazan is over here just flourishing,
okay,
distracting,
that's a five and 11. So 17 on the
17. Roll. Yeah, it works. It actually doesn't work quite. It's not a 20, so it doesn't work quite as you expected. Turns into two doves.
Oh, Well, here's the thing. Because there wasn't a lot of blood, he's going to pull out a roll of quarters and just toss that up. And then halfway out, it's going to turn into a flock of doves that all hit the saw blade. And now it's just like, no, there's just so much bird blood. But not. I would like to not get it onto Ali Kazan. Can I try to not get it onto Ali?
I think that the 17 was high enough, and I already gave you the consequence of too many pigeons. So, yeah, I think you can take the benefit of that. There's a lot of blood. It's as if there was like an invisible umbrella over Ali, and she's just like completely dry.
All of those quarters are from the ticket prices. This is what you paid for.
The audience goes wild. They cheer. They all have personal vendettas against pigeons. They love what's happening.
The saw blade is now like halfway down, and I'm Presto is doing nothing to help the guy or anything. Yeah, this is gonna fuck him up. You ready to die?
No, I'm not ready to die. I am ready for the greatest trick of all, though. I can't wait to be saved.
All right.
What incredible trick will you pull out of your sleeve at the last minute, saving me from a fate equal to death? For it is death.
Presto is going to lean over and whisper in your ear. You want me to save you?
Quite a bit, yes.
Tell me your most valuable secret.
Oh, sure. The location of my father, Guy Spit.
Where is he?
He's in the basement of City Hall. They keep him locked up.
Oh, well, interesting. All right, for that, I'll do this. He's going to try to cast Flesh to Rhinestone to turn Mr. Spitz's body into the hardest material known to man, rhinestones.
Sure. Let's make a, this is all performance. This is all a show. Let's make another performance roll.
Uh-oh. Well, that's a fucking one.
That's a one?
That's just a one. It's just a one, Branson.
Sounds like a critical failure.
That's extremely bad. It misses. It bounces off of him. This is a rich guy, you know, he's built, he has bought an anti-magic, a little like force field for himself. It just like basic magics, like sort of bounce off of this guy, bounces right off of him, and it hits the saw blade, turning it into rhinestone, making it much harder and much more durable than it was before.
Well, that's what you get for wearing that. And then he's just going to step back and let it happen.
Well, the stakes have been raised. I can't wait to see what you do to save me. It would certainly be an incident if the governor's son was killed on stage.
Uh-oh.
I think it's fun. I think people are going to be talking about it. And he's gonna start filing his nails with his wand.
Yeah, the saw blade is getting closer and closer. It's about a foot away from his head now. It's just getting closer to his body. He says, please, 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 I have so much life ahead of me. Please, let me live. I'll do anything. I've told you the location of my father. Please.
All right. I'll make this quicker. And he's going to tap the saw blade, and it's going to turn from being like it was going to cut the guy in half to now it turns 90 degrees and is now going to cut him down the middle vertically.
No, you'll bisect me. No, my left and right brain, they won't be in communion anymore. I'll be neither creative nor logical.
Welcome to my life, buddy.
No, I'll do anything. And the saw blade, it lowers down onto him and it cuts James Spitz in half cleanly.
He is both completely logical and completely creative, but the two are no longer in conversation.
Ta-da!
He just gets up from the... He just gets up and, like,
arm in arm walks off the stage as two people with half a personality each.
He's dead.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, my mistake. He's not, so he is completely logical and completely creative, but that's useless because he's dead.
I see. You were going in order of severity descending. My mistake. Right. Okay.
Yeah, I was sorry. I was describing the split second where he still lived before all of his vital functions just completely shut down.
But some people say that split second lasted thousands of years, and that's what the afterlife is. Isn't that true?
But on Rude Tales, it lasted the exact same amount of time for him. He had no ability to do anything with any of it. He was gone. He's gone. He's dead. You committed a murder on stage. The crowd goes wild. They don't totally understand the severity of what's happened yet. They're still cheering, thinking that some great trick is coming. Are they right?
I walk over to my lovely assistant, put my arm around her, and we both take a bow together. And the curtain falls.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The curtain falls and the crowd goes silent. Somebody in the crowd shouts, "Good God, they've murdered James Spitt, the richest man in town." The people of Piss Harbor, they love and revere the rich, and the boos begin immediately.
Backstage, Allie's going to swish around to Presto and say, "Hey, Presto, what the fuck are you doing?" And as she's walking towards Presto, a dark inferno engulfs her body, burning away all of her skin to reveal a demon. 6 feet tall, sickly thin, legs that can only be described poorly as backwards and slightly more accurately as fucked up. And hair made of that same black flame cascading down her back. The sparkly outfit is the same, but it's just really baggy now. Presto, I knew you was dumb when we got involved, but I didn't know you was stupid. Like,
Presto is holding his wand in both fingers and just kind of like, "I think they liked it. I think people are gonna be talking about it."
Don't get me wrong, I loved it too. But as much as I love to eat the rich, it's probably not the best idea to do it so publicly.
You can hear from the other side of the curtain cries of,
"We have witnessed a murder. We know exactly who did the murder."
That wasn't even magic.
I liked it.
Don't get me wrong, hell of a show as always. I get mad, pal, but it is a bit of a downer for our continued relationship as stipulated in the contract for you to go to jail when you can't provide me the warm bodies.
You think I'm going to go to jail in this town?
Yeah.
Everybody in this town is corrupt. No one has the courage to go after a real monster, let alone the integrity. Yeah, you'd have to be some real cool, rules-light kind of assholes to step to us. Fortunately, there's nobody like that in this town.
Thank God.
No loose cannons with hots of gold in this neon noir municipality.
There is a long, pregnant pause as nothing happens.
You see?
We cut now to the next scene. Folks, I can just tell this next scene is going to be a winner. Hope I didn't jinx it. We open this sure-to-be classic scene on the Moonlight Values Bounty headquarters, currently located in a top-secret location, which I'll share with you now. A treehouse in the backyard of a McMansion out in Piss Harbor Gardens, a nice suburb in Piss Harbor where government contractors and orthodontists rub shoulders. Maybelline Moonlight, the fan-favorite bounty hunter agent, is running late. Who do we see cramped into this treehouse designed to hold maybe 5 kids at a time?
In a dust ball where you can see arms and legs popping out as they're in a physical fight with each other, one of the members is Neil, who's a gargoyle. So every once in a while you see like a stone arm or like a stone leg or like a tiny vanity wing coming out of the ball of the fight.
And do you see, Allie, do you see like ampersands and like dollar signs also coming out of this ball?
Like a pound sign?
Yeah, an exclamation mark maybe?
Yes.
Well, so that's half of it. Who else is in this big fight?
Sitting in the window with his back against the side and his cowboy boot up on that bottom of that window, looking out the window at that lonesome moon with a piece of straw hanging out of his mouth. You see, Tommy Whistle, he's a cowboy, if you haven't figured that out, and a frog, if you haven't figured that out, and he's the most lonesome man in the world.
Attached by a leash around Tommy's ankle is a junkyard dog barking its head off wildly at the cloud of argument in front of it. And at this dog's feet, vibrating, is Edgica, a witchy blade. A witch blade, sure, why not? a long curved lick of flame for a blade, a pulsing red rabbit-like eye in the center, and a hilt to hold her. But you mustn't hold her. She will drive you crazy.
And just using process of elimination, Joe, who else is in that little dust ball of conflict?
Climbing up and entering the treehouse is none other than that dwarf you love to love, Moose. But Moose looks a little worse for wear. He's got bags under his eyes. He's got a hell of a 5 o'clock shadow. And he's nursing a warm cigarette. Oh, good, he says, climbing up and entering the treehouse. I guess Neil isn't here. That's a relief.
Neil, having sort of like heard everyone around the room and accounted for everyone, pauses. And as the dust settles, she's in a little bit of like a senior photo pose. And she's just absolutely beat up. And she says, when did we stop fighting?
Oh, God, she is here.
Wait, Moose, I guess I wasn't fighting anybody.
Moose takes a drag from his cigarette. Well, I haven't done a lot of fighting the last few days. I've been making up for lost time.
It's been a few days?
Yeah. At least I think so. I don't know. I've barely been able to keep track of what's night and what's day. I've been in so many bedrooms.
Oh, it's nighttime now.
Oh, okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
That explains why I'm so tired.
Hey, Joe, real quick, just for our listeners who might just be joining, what's got Moose so tired? Why has he been, like, burning the candle at both ends?
Branson, thank you so much for asking that question. Moose takes another drag from his cigarette. I've been busy, you see. Ever since on our last job, when Neil restored my virginity, I've been...
She nods.
Shedding it as quickly as possible and in as many ways as possible.
You know, it only takes the one time, usually.
Well, not when you're Moose, my friend, Ejika.
It's sort of a binary thing. A rarity, when you think about that.
Well, some people consider there to be different forms of virginity for all sorts of different acts.
Oh, sure, ass, front.
I could list them in a long laundry list right now, but
mouth.
That might turn some listeners off.
Nostril.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We play the Jim Carroll band, The People Who Died. It would just show a quick montage of, like, every different
possible... There's an infinite scroll of, like...
virginities to be lost. Yeah.
Achoo! Tommy's sneeze blows away all the words that are across the screen. So now the frame is clear. Go ahead.
Of course, the implication of this joke being that names were accruing on the screen of people.
It was diegetic.
That... Yeah.
Cool. Pulls missionary off her face. Well, what are we up to today?
As if on cue, Maybelline pops her head up into the treehouse.
Oh!
Listeners who don't know who she is, I'll tell you. She is half-elf, half-orc, and all-woman. Her raven black hair is teased up in a way that is no help with the ozone layer.
Hey guys, sorry I'm late. I was attending my brother's execution. They really don't like it when you kill the president.
She dusts herself off and enters the treehouse.
How'd it go?
They got him.
Mission accomplished.
So, my condolences, Maybelline.
He did the crime. He's gotta do the time. It's not much of a show. They treat it like it's gonna be a show and you're just in a little room and it's a one-way mirror. A rather grim affair, I must
say. Also, he had to watch it happen to himself.
Yeah, we couldn't see. He was looking at him.
Wow.
He could see us, but as to make it worse, he could see us, but we could only see ourselves. And we just had to, from context, understand what was happening on
Not
the other side.
Not much of a show at all.
The cruelest part is the executioner comes in dressed like a barber. But instead of scissors, he's got a big axe.
They cut his hair all right.
I'm sorry.
It is okay. We weren't close. So, we've got a good one for you tonight. Tonight's bounty is out of this hat.
Huh? Just me?
Just trying to lighten the mood because I'm extremely sad. I, of course, am referencing the famous rabbit out of the hat routine. Because tonight's bounty is... A magician! Yay! What a fun night!
Oh.
A sorcerer.
Well, no.
Nope.
Not a sorcerer. We have sorcerers. We have... No. We have wizards. We have sorcerers. It's not what this is.
It's a warlock.
No, not that. It's a stage magician.
A devil worshiper.
No.
Possibly. None of my business.
My peers, I'm afraid you all don't know about these people. And they're the most loathsome people on Earth.
Tell us, Tommy.
To these magicians, a deck of cards is no mere plaything.
Tell it, Tommy!
To them, it's an opportunity to dazzle and delight. And also, as the word itself says, to trick. Them people who train in the sleight of hand, it just ain't fair. It just ain't fair to treat people like that. To surprise them when all one has done is followed the logic between one and two. No, these magicians lie. They lie every day and expect us to applaud for them. I hate magicians, and I've always hated them. And I'll have to make sure I never see one again.
Finally, we agree on something today.
We agreed on Maestro.
Okay, cutting this riff off at the end. Cutting it off in the pass. I do think you're going to have fun with this one. Because tonight's bounty, as Tommy said, and he said he hates... it's a stage magician known as Presto Kadabra and his lovely assistant, Ali Kazam. That's right, her name is Ali, and there is no good non-metatextual reason that should be confusing.
I love it!
I guess you could. Anyone could. They're wanted for using their delightful stage magic show to enact brutal and grisly murders on unsuspecting volunteers. One in particular, James Spitt, the son of the governor.
She's not wearing a hat, but she gestures as if she was wearing a hat and puts it to her chest.
The richest man in town.
Oh, who's going to tell Guy?
Oh, and there goes Jonathan Large. He was waiting down at the bottom of the tree, but when you said James Spitt, he shook his head and walked away.
That's right, and that's why there will be no Jonathan Large in tonight's episode. A seamless...
Speaks for itself.
Glad we mentioned it. Glad we bothered to even mention it.
Yep, and he'll be back next time.
Maybe. I don't... You guys are talking so weird. Okay. So... Here in the fantasy world of Cordelia, where magic is common and rude tales of it are a simple fact of day-to-day life, you would think that a stage magician wouldn't pack them in. But you'd be wrong if you thought that. Here in Cordelia, it's even more impressive to see somebody seemingly bend the laws of reality without doing so, despite how the riff went earlier. In fact, genuine magic is considered boring. It's why you see wizards panhandling around bus stations. Old news. Anyway, these two are considered to be really nasty psychos. So, keep your wits about you. Their bounty is set at 100 million gold.
No.
But it was set by Ormond the Exaggerator. So I'd expect something more in the neighborhood of 900,000 gold, which is still a lot. I don't know why Ormond does this. Doesn't he know that he is enough, and we love him for who he is? Lay sigh. But that's neither here nor there. I will now open the floor to questions.
And she makes direct eye contact with Tommy.
You don't have to have one if you don't actually have one, and you speak very slowly.
Where? Where on earth are these bee magicians possibly be hiding out? With all of their, as you say...
Let me just answer your question before you embellish on it. They were last seen at the Mon Capitan Theater in the Theater District.
Well, that's where I saw Oedipus Rex.
Nice humble brag. Okay, next question.
I ain't bragging about going to the theater. I think everyone should be going to the theater. I don't think that going to the theater makes me better than anyone else. And I resent that. I resent that indeed, Ejika. In fact, I'm bringing you to the theater next time I get a ticket. I go for Rush.
Go ahead and pick me up then if you'd like to.
Whoa. Let's not let the subtle cracks that pervade the group fray us before we've gotten to tonight's bounty. Do we have any other actual questions?
Yes. I was wondering if they're aware that there is a hit out on them.
I They gotta know. They killed James Spid in front of a crowd. They gotta know the heat's on them.
All right.
I have a question.
Oh, Neil, the dark and brooding one of the group. Ooh.
She steps out of the shadows.
Oh.
She looks terrible. She's been fighting with herself for days. How do we protect ourselves from their dark and inscrutable magic?
It's simple. You gotta remember that magic is not real. I mean, it is real, but their magic is not real. They're doing stage magic. It's all an illusion.
Sounds real.
Yeah, talking statue, don't worry about it.
If that magician is tapped into actual magic, you're in for a world of hurt. But I don't think that's the case.
Okay. I guess the job's the job.
That's for sure. Any other questions?
And she looks at Moose, and she sort of, she rubs the back of her neck. It's been a busy last few days, and these two do have a history.
Maybelline, I just want to thank you for sharing some time with me recently.
My pleasure. I had a nice time doing whatever it is that we did.
The word cunnilingus is just, like, splashed across her.
What is going on with this treehouse? Why are there words?
If you, have you had your shower fixed yet?
I have not. Maybe, later tonight, after the bounty, you could come and fix it for me.
I could take a look.
Oh, maybe you could deliver a pizza, too.
Why would I? Well, if you're hungry.
Whatever gets you there.
I love pizza.
Okay, so it seems like no further questions. Head to the theater district. We good?
Yep. Aye, aye.
I'll see you guys later tonight. And then she looks at Moose and says, and I'll see you, Moose, later when we hardcore fuck. Whoops!
We cut now to right outside of the Mon Capitan. We are in the theater district. If it's a play you want to see, this is the very spot you want to be. From Oedipus Rex to Oedipus Sex, the porn version of it, they've got it all here in the theater district. You take in the sights. Why, look! There's different awnings of different shows.
Wow. Look, there's, Beetlejuice.
Yeah, and there's Hairspray.
A passerby walking by you looks at you guys and says, yeah, not so easy, is it?
I see kinky boots.
Oh, look, over there, Grease. Gnomes.
The passerby, you notice that their hands are shaking and they have like the spray of blood on them.
Oh, wait.
Yes.
Edgigan's dog like runs over and starts licking the blood off this guy.
You're cleaning me.
Been to any executions recently?
That's funny you should mention that. I was at an execution. Why, I was just in the Mon Capitan Theater watching Presto Cadabra.
The stage magician?
Yeah, the very same. Here, I thought I was in for a normal night of, you know, fake magic. But then something incredible happened. A saw blade came down and cut James Spid in half. It was gruesome. It was grisly.
Did you happen to notice where Presto and his assistant went after the show?
Yeah, back behind the red curtain. We charged the stage. We gave them a few minutes to sort of talk and get their heads straight. But then we charged the stage and we got behind the curtain afterwards and they were nowhere to be seen. There were some bloody footprints heading back to the back alley, but we didn't think anything of it. Why?
No reason.
Would you say it's the hottest ticket in town?
I would have said that until tonight. I think this guy's goose is cooked. If I was the cops or a bounty hunter, I'd be all over this guy. But I'm not. I'm just a theater goer, and I want to get away from him. What if I get cut in half?
It could happen.
I know! That's my fear! I don't want to get cut in half! I love being one whole guy.
Well, then I think you'd better get out of here and go somewhere safer, like an abattoir.
An abattoir? Yeah, that's a safe spot for a guy like me. All right, do you guys need anything else?
Tommy Whistle whips out of his holster a ticket, and he hands it to the man.
I was going to use this later today, but I think you might need it more. It's called 52 Below. It's where all the stars of this amazing district go just to do little songs and characters rather than doing the plays they normally do.
Wait, are they, like, blowing off steam in a sort of hilarious way?
Oh, yeah, and you can tell these people who are very used to owning a stage really haven't learned exactly how to run a crowd.
That is so exciting. You know what I've always wanted was for actors to unburden themselves from writers and just be funny in the way they think is funny. That's like really good stuff.
If you can imagine it, many things don't fall flat that very much should.
Oh boy, I can't wait. He grabs the ticket greedily out of your hand. And he says, "Laughter awaits." And he runs so fast that he like trips and he just keeps going. He goes, "I gotta see this show."
Edgica's dog has tasted blood and thus has the scent for it and starts sniffing around to find these footprints to get on the trail.
Make a perception roll for this dog.
Okay. Bad. That's an 8.
Yeah, he can't quite get it. There's a lot of blood here. There's people have just been like bleeding all over town. It's getting a little confused. You see the equation sort of forming around the dog's head of just like, he's like thinking about like whose blood is this, and it's just like it's not adding up, and he shrugs.
The dog.
Ali Kazam just opens the front door of the theater and is like, "Hello, may I help you? Are you here for the show?"
The dog runs away.
Hi there. We're actually looking for a magician.
Ali, what are you doing? I thought we were going to go kill the governor. I found out where he is. He's in the basement of his house. When I killed
slams
this stupid
the door behind
son.
Her.
Ali, wait, I wasn't done incriminating myself.
Ali, you hear a knock on the door slowly.
Are you here for the show?
Yes, we are. We're here to see the show.
She like turns to Pristle. What the fuck are you doing?
Well, it was a slow knock. He's probably fine. It wasn't like an aggressive knock.
What do you think? He's not here for us?
Well, yeah, probably to see the show. Come on, let him in. I like reach over and throw the door open and then just start. I do that, but then it's like in the gesture of like spinning on my heel and heading for the stage.
A whirlwind of a tongue flaring around so you can barely see anything at all, as if a bunch of birds are trying to go into the door. The tongue shoots around you and then wraps all around you, pulling you two together, tossed.
Wow, at least buy me a drink first.
Tim, I need you to make a dexterity roll to see how well you do that. And Presto and Allie, I need both of you also to make dexterity saving throws to see if you're wrapped up in this tongue.
Uh-oh. 16.
16. You gotta beat his 16.
See, I got a negative 1. I rolled a 19, though.
Whoa! I rolled a 15.
Sorry! I duck under the tongue and leave.
Allie, you are caught by this tongue. This tongue's got you. It's got you. And in fact, it tightens all the harder when Presto slips out. Tommy,
wow.
You've got the wrong person.
Pun not intended, but aren't you jumping the gun a bit? You haven't even spoken to me.
Tommy Whistle pulls the tongue back with his hands like a lasso and pulls Ali out the door and then stops her right before she lands on Edrica's blade.
Wow, what the fuck?
Presto is nothing without his assistant, and so every great magician. So this is going to bring him outside into public for sure.
Presto, as soon as you step out, there are cries from the people outside of, there he is, Presto Cadabra, the murderer, the murderer!
I'm like, okay, all right, yes, it was great, it's very nice. Look, please don't wait outside to talk. You know, I was just on stage, I'm really tired, I'd like to talk to my friends, so I'm going to turn just to the venue.
Moose, Neil, Edgica and I have got the assistant. I need you two to team up and stop the man before he goes too far.
Team up? I better douse myself with some anti-holy water first.
And you say that to no one, because when you look around, you don't see Neil. Unless you think to look up, and then you see Neil. She's on the corner of the roof, and then she jumps down between Presto and the door that was behind him. And she stands up, and she crosses her arms and glares at him intimidatingly.
He's going to stretch out a hand to shake. He's like, nice to meet you.
I refuse to shake.
Love to meet a fan.
Are you people here on account of the tragic accident that befell the governor's son? Rest assured, we are doing all we can to improve that particular trick, to ensure this does not happen again. Don't worry, the stagehand that was at fault has been dealt with.
What are you talking about? I killed that guy on purpose.
Wow.
Good teamwork.
While Presto is turned around and facing Neil, Moose is going to pull out a gun and point it at Presto's head.
Which part? Pat or mouth?
Oh, good question.
Mouth.
Mouth?
Mouth.
Okay. He's just going to smile much bigger. And it's like the hat actually lifts up a little bit. Like the expectation is there would be eyes under the hat, but as he smiles bigger. Anyone familiar with Tim Sale, how he would draw the Joker? Yes. With those like way too big fucking teeth? Yeah, okay. I thought that might land in this crowd.
Yeah, this was the call to reference Tim Sale on.
Yes, okay, that. Yeah, just like.
You know, Alan Moore?
Yeah, just like. You know, if you look, this is all very nice, but Presto is going to attempt to cast Secrets of Magic Revealed, which makes everybody in the general area who is not a stage magician reveal a dark secret, because a magician never reveals their secrets.
So I need you to make a charisma roll, and everyone around, I need you to make a wisdom saving throw, and you have to beat whatever this charisma roll is.
Shit, it's a 25.
Okay, so if you somehow can beat a 25.
I never roll this well when I'm DMing.
No, you never roll this well.
I got an 8.
Brenton, I got a 10.
8? 13.
13? Got a 13?
Compelled, she spits out. Sometimes I used to eat popcorn while I was listening to confessions. Oh! She covers her mouth.
Etchika's eyes vibrate, her pupils dilate, and she says, "This isn't my first dog!"
The dog hears that and looks at you, betrayed.
Tommy Whistle, usually able to talk when he's got his tongue lasso out, the shock of the spell reverberates through him as the tongue slackens and pops back into his mouth. As it pops back and jolts his head pops back up forward and goes, "I ate my wife."
Sick.
Moose says quickly under his breath, "I cheat on my taxes." What?
Nearby you, because there's a group of people all around you, all had to make their own wisdom saving throws. Nearby you hear things like, "I'm enjoying my divorce," or "I favor my middle child." You hear one guy is dressed like a stage magician. He says, "I am not a stage magician. No, my career." And you hear somewhere in the group, somebody dressed in just completely plain clothes says nothing, revealing that they were secretly a stage magician.
Amateur.
"I have a secret as well," Allie says, and then all of her skin sloughs off and you see this horrific 8-foot-tall demon.
"I knew it!"
And they go, "Let's fucking go!"
Hey, Sturf, what are you doing?
"Oh, hello, Bello. I'm just making an Easter basket, filling it with lots of treats and goodies for our fans, you see."
"Don't you usually put, like, I don't know, jelly beans and chocolates in those?"
"Hello, don't be so pedestrian. Our fans are individuals with refined taste. We've got to measure up."
"I don't know, Stir Fry. That's a lot of hooves to put in an Easter basket. And all these thorns?"
"Thorns are herb, Cordelia. Thorns are herb."
"You don't need to worry about wowing people with your Easter basket."
"But why, Cordelia?"
"Don't be a fool, Stairfry. You know good and well our fans will be swept away in joy and ecstasy after our in-person live show the night before."
"Live show? Oh, you mean Rude Tales of Magic, Lentenders."
"Yes, it's Saturday, March 30th.
Right. And we're doing it in some back alley in some nameless old town?"
"No, Sturf. We're doing it at the Bell House, right in the heart of Brooklyn."
"Oh, of course. Now I remember. Rude Tales of Magic, Lentenders. Live at the Bell House on Saturday, March 30th. Doors at 6:30, show at 7.
And tickets are on sale now. I just bought mine at rudetalesofmagic.com.
"This is fantastic. And you know what? I'm still going to add a few tumbleweeds to my Easter basket just to spruce it up."
Those freaks will love it.
"You heard right, Credence. The Class Dismissed Gang returns to the stage in an all-new live show. That's Rude Tales of Magic, Lentenders, live at the Bell House in Brooklyn, Saturday, March 30th, 7 p.m. Buy your tickets today or be tortured to death."
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. Those are some products I'd like to buy.
Let's fucking go! And the demon clocks open their jaw like a goblin shark and pulls out of their mouth a 13-foot-long spear and says, "Behold, the Lance Long Ginus, named after the guy who invented poking bodies with sticks." And they twirl the weapon around way too much, like a lightsaber in the prequels, and then conjure a seat and a campfire and start roasting a hot dog on the end of the spear. I'm not supposed to get involved in mortal affairs.
And also from up in heaven, Longinus, the guy who invented poking people with sticks, he went to heaven, looks down and nods and says, "My legacy is secure."
And Jesus puts a hand on his shoulder and says, "Hey, don't get any ideas, right, buddy?"
And Jesus is like really sloppy and Longinus is like really like put together. And they look at the camera as if to say, "We don't agree on anything." And we cut back.
Tommy Whistle, completely disoriented by being forced to reveal his horrible secret, he barely has enough sense to grab his gun and fire. Instead, he reverts to his most instinctual attack. He opens his mouth and leaps at Presto, trying to gobble him up in one big gulp.
So you're gonna make an attack roll on Presto. It's just an unarmed attack. Just go for it. Just roll the 20, whatever you get.
Wait, you're attacking me?
Yeah, I got a 1.
You got a 1, so basically all you've done is you've opened your mouth and jumped forward 1 step.
Yeah.
Oh, Mega Man enemy stuff.
Just sort of revealing the weak, you have a huge mouth, just revealing the weakness of like inside of your mouth and your throat. You are a sitting target.
Neil, moving similarly instinctually, steps forward, rears back, which she realizes she doesn't want to get close to the demon, so she spits in her hand and throws it at this demon who was Allie, who is no longer Allie.
So that's going to be, okay, so you spit in your hand.
Yeah.
This is holy water, right? You spit holy water.
Correct.
Okay, so you spit holy water into your hand, and you're just going to throw a wad of spit.
Yeah.
I'm going to say make an attack roll with disadvantage, because that's a really inefficient way to attack somebody.
Okay, weird thought, but okay. Well, one was 19 and one was a 7. Did you say advantage or?
Oh, disadvantage. But I'll tell you what. I'll let you keep that 19 or 17. I'll let you 19? Keep that for intimidation, because if I'm in a fight with somebody and they spit in their hand and throw it at me, it's not going to hurt me, but I am afraid of them now.
Okay, I'll take it. Cool. So then I guess the spit just doesn't even come off of her hand.
I mean, think about this, Al. Like, if you spit in your hand and just, like, fling your hand at them, maybe something, I don't know, like...
We live in a different world in this game. I don't know.
I'm not trying to chastise you. I'm just saying a 7. I gotta honor the 7. It doesn't work. Your hand is wet. And so, and like, a few inches in front of you, some spittle sprays off.
Fooey.
You know, don't bother with me anyway. I'm just over here cooking a hot dog. I'm not bothering nobody.
Thanks for all the help.
Oh, what, you want help?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, that was... Yeah, sorry, that was passive-aggressive. Let me try that again. Could I please have some help, please?
Tone back the fucking sass, or else you're gonna be back on the street doing minor illusions for birthday parties?
Hey, you know I can't do minor illusions. I have no inherent magical power. Ah, shit, right. That's one of those things I'm not supposed to tell people.
Yeah, get a load of this loser.
So Staten Island.
Thank you. I still got it, baby. But yeah, I can't... You know, I can only help your ass indirectly, says so in the paperwork, but like, yeah, I could wipe all of you out like that, and they snap their fingers, and for 1 second, you are all inside out before reverting back to right side in. That wouldn't be fun for nobody. And I don't know what the inside out of a sword looks like at all.
This one's got a spinal column.
It was
column.
Blood and guts. Yeah.
But outside of a book, the inside of a dog is the best friend. Wait. Anyway.
No, this is that. That's that Mike Pence quote that makes it sound like he fucks horses.
Yeah.
So you guys are turned inside out very briefly, and then it's righted. A few people in your area also were hit by that area effect, and they've also been turned inside out. And one of them says, "Oh my God, I gotta get that looked at," and they rush off to a hospital.
Well, it'll be easier to access.
Oh, no.
Well, they know exactly where it is. Things are looking good for them, except, oh no. Oh no, the doctor, it's Dr. House. They're going to be insulted in a racist way.
Oh no.
Oh no.
The one universal constant.
All right, Presto, what do you do?
Oh, you're begging for a support spell? Okay. The Prestige.
I hate this movie.
Well, you don't like Christian Bale? What the fuck?
Well, look, all I'm saying is, look, either do Secret Twins or do a cloning machine, but you can't do both in the same fucking movie and reveal them in the third act. That's all I'm fucking saying.
Well, you're no fucking movie maker. I'm casting The Prestige, and multiple illusory twins pop up into battle, and you gotta find the real one. One of them, maybe they're like, idol animation is different. I don't know.
Presto is looking around, like, and the mouth, it just becomes a big smile.
This is so great. There's so many fake guys of me.
They're all moving like it's like Street Fighter waiting for the fight to start. They're just sort of like idling back and forth. One of them taps his foot like Sonic and looks at his watch. Like they are all just sort of like moving, but it is still, for anyone to be able to identify you, they're so convincing. They are going to need to beat a wisdom saving throw of 14 or they're not going to know which is which.
Moose, assuming that this is an optical illusion, kneels down and picks some gravel off of the ground, and he throws it out, trying to hit several of the duplicates and see which ones, like, have gravel pass through them and which one, like, is the real one that the gravel hits.
Okay, interesting. So, Jess, I have a question for you. Are these, like, visual illusions, or are these actually, like, do they have form to them?
They have form to them, and the ones that you hit all go in the same animation, like, the same, like, hurt animation.
Yeah, Presto does not do that.
And there's a chorus of Cohen's voice echoed all over, like, 15 times.
Hey!
And a circle of rings pop out of them. But, Moose, I will say, because they are all doing the same animation, one of them is doing a different animation, and that has now been revealed to you.
Ah, shit.
Found you.
No, you didn't. I'm one of the clones. Or the copies.
I don't believe you.
Pesto, is it a clone or a copy? Are these real?
Can I shoot him?
Oh, I wish you would.
I'm gonna shoot him.
No, Joe. He probably won't like it.
I know. Well, that's okay. That's actually okay for my purposes.
Okay.
I'm gonna try and shoot him in the leg. Now, Joe, remember, you can catch more flies with honey than vinegar.
So just remember that.
You ate your wife. Mm.
Ooh. Yeah, which one did you use to catch your fucking wife?
I'm gonna make an attack roll.
Joe, make an attack roll. And since you're using a gun, roll it with advantage. Those things work really well.
Great, because I just rolled a 4. And, okay, with advantage, that is a 6.
Okay, you fire at his leg, and it misses, shooting at the ground near him. This is almost an invitation for Presto to dance.
And so, of course, Presto immediately goes into a... He does a TikTok dance. I don't know what those are. He does one of them. You know what I'm saying? It's a different kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like it's vertical.
Yeah, you can tell that there's something is supposed to be happening, like an arm going parallel to another arm and the hips moving through it. But this is the one thing this character and I have completely in common, which is just doesn't land.
Well, you also have teeth the length of fingers.
Yeah, oh, that's true. That's yeah. true. Yeah, that's why I have the pot filter right here.
Yeah,
yeah, thank you.
It's deceptive.
No, don't sell yourself short.
It's fair enough. You're right. And I'm tall like him.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
And now you're dancing. Ejika, you have the bridge.
Ejika's dog sidles next to the demon formerly known as Alakazam. And you.
Hey, what's up, dog? You want a hot dog?
The dog nods, yes.
You want a hot dog? Yeah. You want to be on my side? You want to do a contract? What do you want? It's like feeding a hot dog to the dog.
You hear Ejika's voice in your mind.
Oh.
She says,
Pesto carbonara, been a second, hasn't it?
Oh my god, where have you been?
In a sword, I've been in a sword.
Is that Ejika?
Oh my god.
What have you been up to? You've been in the sword? What's going on?
You know, collecting bounties, as you may recall. No one can me without losing their mind, but a dog has no sanity to lose, so it's been a good fit for me.
Oh, that's smart. That's smart.
Can
you
I ask you
smart.
A question?
Yeah, what's up?
What are you doing with this guy?
Oh, having a hell of a time. This guy's a fucking idiot. He's entertaining as hell.
Oh, I can see it. Listen, I understand the company you keep sometimes is just for chuckles, but still, I have to ask you, why give your considerable powers to this numbskull?
Well, first of all, it's funny. Second of all, I do need souls and bodies. So, you know,
oh,
if people get tricked to go to a show,
yeah,
you know, of course.
So you have some sort of pack then? You get to keep what he kills?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Listen, respect. I respect your hustle, but
game
I...
Game respect the game. Yeah, of course.
But I do feel we should settle this.
Oh?
I don't judge you and what you choose to do with your time, but...
I think you do a little, Edgica. I think you do
a
little.
You're doing it a little bit right now.
But
I do have to just say, I've been hired to shut this thing down, and so I'm giving you the courtesy of offering to do this being to being.
I mean, I also, you know, if you're interested in a contract, I could, you know, offer you some very temptuous things, you know? How about not being stuck in a sword forever? I don't know. Do you like that?
Oh, I've chosen it.
Oh, well, weird. I wouldn't. Couldn't be me.
You know, to each their own. But
so these two turns were your moves. The offer to just let this go, and then the offer to maybe join in a pack. Those are your two turns. Meaning it is now Tommy's turn for combat.
Just hanging out by the hot dogs, just chatting with each other.
Old friends, yeah.
Shocked that his little jump forward didn't scare his enemy. Tommy reaches for his cowboy revolver and whips it out and fires. Bang, bang, bang.
All right, by my count, that's three shots. Make three attack rolls.
There's a lot of guns in this crew. I didn't think you'd have so many guns.
It's a very children's theater. Bang, bang.
I don't think, has anyone ever successfully shot something?
And it's not hard. I haven't made it hard for guns to work.
The idea of adults saying bang like this.
Are you aiming at me?
I am.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
16, 6, 10.
So what is your constitution score, Presto?
It's an 8. I have an 8 constitution.
So the 16 and the 10 hit, so two shots. Presto, you take two shots. Where were you aiming, Tommy?
One on the shoulder, one at the knee.
Oh, no, my ball and sockets. Oh, this is going to fuck up my articulation.
You okay over there, hon?
Not really. I mean,
okay,
I got shot twice.
Just keep playing with the bounty hunters. Don't worry.
All right, can you put my blood back, please?
Gotta ask guys.
I thought that was what the please was for.
Nicer than that.
Please.
And as the demon formerly known as Ali Kazam is distracted, Neil, inspired by Moose, also bends down and picks up gravel, and she has really good advantage on throwing stones because she is a stone.
Oh, and she lives
not
in a glass house.
Neil near a glass house.
Fuck, Joe, we were on it.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, well, it's a good thing she has advantage.
Cool. Oh, so, 13. As never discussed, you have advantage on throwing stones. Well, you said it with such gusto, and you throw gravel at a literal demon. Yeah, Pesto, you sort of have demon stats, which is Oliver, but you do get, like, gravel thrown at you. How rude.
Ah, jeez. Christ, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Kill that guy, the stupid fucker. I don't give a shit. Kill him. Whatever. I'm talking to Edgica over here. Manners.
Hearing that and trying to be a good boy because I just had some of my blood put back, I think. I've decided between turns.
I casually put blood back in your body, sure.
I look over and I see, when you say Edgica, I see the rabbit eye on the sword, the rabbit-like eye, and it reminds me of one of my favorite spells. I open my cape and I attempt to cast Harum Scarum, and hundreds of black rabbits emerge from my cape, all of them with human eyes.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And, no.
Yeah, I'm just going to try to do that.
Make a charisma roll.
Ah, I love those. It's my one good stat. Okay, that's a 13.
Pretty good.
See, it's stuff like this, Edgica. I think it's charming when he does stuff like this with the rabbits and stuff.
You open your cape, and because for a 13, 200 black rabbits with human eyes emerge from your cape. It is just like they're passing through a threshold. And you have just unleashed. This is, by the way, doing that with rabbits, you have created an ecological disaster in Piss Harbor. Those things reproduce very quickly. They eat all sorts of stuff that they shouldn't be eating. They are an invasive species. So this is more an attack on Piss Harbor itself than the group.
The city's turned its back on me.
Yeah, I mean, myxomatosis in the coming months will, cases of that will skyrocket.
The white blindness will take many, yes.
I love that Radiohead song.
It's how I know the word.
Yeah, so I made hundreds of rivets, and then I'm going to just try to go over and like a teenager who is embarrassed that they are having to ask their mom if they can go home soon, like 15. You know what I mean? But like at a family event, they'd love to just leave. Presto's just kind of like tap Pesto on the shoulder, be like, "Can we go? Can we not be here anymore? I'm getting tired. I did 3 spells.
I'm talking to someone here. Do you mind?
Yeah, buzz off.
No, go play with your friends. It's fine.
All right, turn back." And just everybody swarmed with rabbits.
Are the rabbits attacking us, or are they just...
I have no control over them. If they're attacking you, they're not attacking me too.
Also, if they're attacking you, you did something wrong. They are scared. They are trying to get away from you. You have initiated some sort of conflict with the rabbits. That's your own business.
Though I do believe at this point, because all this is happening like outside in the street, in the theater district, theater goers have turned away from the theaters about to go in to watch the show, but they assume to be this sort of improv everywhere style theatrical event. So they're seeing all these rabbits too.
They are, and people all around are looking. They're saying, "Oh, is this funny? Is this good? What is this exactly?"
I'm trying to get to work, but here it is.
I'm inspired. Oh.
Okay. I had no problem with that. These people don't know what to make of what's going on here. Somebody, they hoist their son up and they say, look at what's happening. And the kid says, "Why?"
As more and more people are looking or are gathering around, Presto is like getting taller and his teeth are getting longer. He started off at the normal, respectable, and perfect height of 6'3", which is like the tallest you can be without being rude. But he is now growing into a hideous and disgusting 6'4".
Ew!
Yeah.
Too much of a good thing.
I hate when he does this.
If you're 6'4", you might as well be 11'12". You might as well be 13'6". It doesn't matter.
11'12".
11'12". That's how I say 12.
Moose is just going to fire again. Moose, you know, he missed the first time, but, you know, he's got a gun.
Yeah, Moose, it is chaos. There's rabbits everywhere. People are applauding. They're not totally sure what they're supposed to do. There are theater goers everywhere. And you got a clean shot at Presto Kadabra, whose patron doesn't seem to be paying any more attention to him than a mother saying, "I see you, honey," to their kid at a pool.
Moose is thinking about that bounty, that 900,000 gold. That might be enough that he could finally retire from this life.
Oh.
That he could go back and reclaim everything he left behind on the mountain. He would never have to see Neil again. And he steadies his hand and he fires.
The bullet moves in slow motion, and as it does, we zoom into Moose's eye. Moose, what are you imagining? Your life outside of this.
I'm imagining a life of peace, a life of happiness, a life of rich and varied sexual experience.
Nice. But like visually, what are we looking at?
Oh, he's just like, he's holding the gun sideways in the cool way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, you're holding it in the cool way. We zoom into your eye. What do you see in your future?
Yeah, I thought you meant see in the more abstract sense.
Well, I'm glad there was the misunderstanding, because now we know you're firing in the cool way.
As if you needed that explained. He's there. He's back on the mountain. He's got a huge beard. He's in classic fantasy garb. He's got a big jewel-encrusted stein full of mead. He's got various romantic partners all about a great hall, sharing fine meats and cheeses with each other.
Greasing
yeah, they're
up.
Swinging their flagons of ale and toasting each other as if they're singing like a rendition of Gaston.
Yeah.
Swinging and chanting. And suddenly, all of their faces turn and change.
Pesto Carbonara is just sitting at the head of the table waving at you like, "I can do this for you. Do you want? After
the battle, just like hit me up. Like, you know, it's not even like, this is not even hard."
I didn't mean to interrupt. Were you speaking with Etchika?
No, I mean, I've got eyes all over the place. I got tons of different, you know, clients, and, you know, if you want to be one, I'm just saying, this is not really a hard, this is not a tall offer here.
I don't know, it might not be appropriate. I don't want to get into it, but I was recently purified.
Ugh. I'm sorry.
So, I thank you.
Condolences.
Yeah, it's been rough. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And back in the real world, Moose!
We zoom back to the barrel of the gun.
Nice.
As a bullet explodes in the chamber and fires and spirals through the chamber and explodes out, heading right for Presto. And with advantage, I got a 6.
Your gun, you haven't fired the cool way, but you're distracted by this conversation with Pesto. And you fire a little crooked. Where were you aiming?
Aiming at Presto's legs wasn't working, so this time I was just going straight for a headshot. But that moment of conversation with Pesto distracted me, and instead of, you know, finding the perfect moment to fire the bullet, I fire a moment too late, just as, like, 4 rabbits leap into the path.
Oh, no!
I just, like, magic bullet 4 rabbits at once.
But they're fine, right?
Oh, Allie,
Yeah.
They go to a nice farm upstate.
Yeah, they close their eyes and think of mice and men.
The doves are here,
they think
too.
Of their favorite novel.
Knocks the rabbits upstate where they land in a library reading of Mice and Men.
Yeah, not Watership Down.
But we see in the last seconds, a large simple shadow forms behind them and goes to pet them. And we cut back now.
Ah, my rabbits! You sent them upstate, you piece of shit!
I was trying to hurt you!
I only have 196 left now! This battle's gonna be really short!
Ejika's giant eye, like, rolls exasperatedly, and she... Her voice has a bit more of a bite to it, as she says,
"Listen, Pesto, I was really hoping we could settle this discreetly. But if you're not going to call your dumb hound off, I'm going to have to sick mine."
I mean, you can go kill that guy. I really don't care.
Then why don't you end this now?
It's really up to him. I mean, he just does whatever. I just kind of watch and laugh at him. And he gives me bodies. And I'm just like, well, that's fine with me.
Why is every relationship I have like this?
Really, just if you just kill the guy, you'll just get it over with. And then I'll just be on my way. And I just want to see how it shakes out.
Okay.
Ejika's dog turns and lunges towards Presto, and he's going to try to swipe Presto diagonally from shoulder to stomach.
Make an attack roll on Presto.
Very easy. Quite weak, physically.
I got...
And also, he's 6'4", so you can roll with advantage, because there's too much of him.
Oh!
That'll do it.
I got a 15 both times.
Okay, you're going to take the higher 15.
Okay.
And that's going to hit.
Amazing. Yeah. Okay, so Ejika's blade bites into the flesh on Presto's shoulder, ripping down. It feels hot, and you realize that the metal of her blade is being magically heated from an infernal fire within her. And she says, "This is what real magic is, you fraud."
This hits Presto where it hurts, both in his reputation and confidence as a stage magician and most of his body. Molten steel. And it's like the kind of thing where it's like, you know, you hope it's like, oh, it'll cauterize, but instead it like goes past that and just the flesh is just on fire. There's a moment where it's like, ah, red vest, no one will see the blood, but then that burst into flame and you see that his skin is just just a long list of every time he has fucked up. Pesto has like just made it appear, just like, you didn't get that right. You did just various things.
Big fuck up over here.
The word cunnilingus hits Neil in the face.
Come on.
I'm trying.
You did it wrong.
Get that
up. Exactly.
Oh, she like swipes it away very fast.
Yeah, that's that hurts a lot.
Pesto was clapping like, go get him, girl.
Yeah.
You go.
The terms of Presto's deal with Pesto flash in his mind, which is, everything out of the hat has to go back in the hat at the end.
Ooh.
And as he's like, his body is like getting twisted and like sucked up into the hat. It starts at just his eyes, but it's like, no, I wanted to kill the governor too. And with the last pathetic gasp, he is just completely, the hat falls like Jafar back into the lamp and just like, drops onto the street outside.
And several pieces of gravel hit it. And it got it.
The crowd is applauding. Pesto's applauding.
Everyone's cheering. They all think this is part of some sort of show. A tourist from out of town says, "You see, honey? You see? This is why we go into the city. Anything can happen at any time." And a horse-drawn carriage runs him over, and as he dies, he says, "Anything!"
Edgica's dog sticks a perfect three-point landing.
Whoa! Clapping at the dog landing. Nice. Pesto clicks over in those ill-fitting heels and sweeps up Presto's hat that's still on the floor in a smooth motion, and you know, also pets the dog on the way there and is just like, "Well, there you go. That guy sucked. Well, now that Kadabra's been murked, I gotta get going. This guy was fun, but I got a lot of other contracts to follow up on. You know, you gotta diversify your portfolio and shit. So unless any of you's interested, hellish powers, open offer. Anyone?"
"I speak for all of us when I say we do not want to dance with the devil. Though indeed..."
"Hold on.
We,
what?"
"Moose!
Hold up, cowboy."
No, I just wanted to make sure that she wasn't part of the bounty."
"Oh, no, it was just Presto. You can't put a bounty on a demon. Imagine."
"I know. Good luck,
good
right?"
"Good luck."
"No, it's stupid. Don't be stupid."
"Then, ma'am, this won't be the first time I'm saying this, but we would like to trade that hat in for money. Please give it back to us."
"Well, yeah, sure." So she just hands over the hat. The instant it leaves her hand, it's not magic anymore.
"Yeah, my disgusting body shoots out of it." "Yeah. Oh, twist it on straw as soon as it leaves your..."
"Yeah, it's like when you fucking open like the peanut brittle and like the snakes come out."
"Yeah." My spine is the spring inside the snake and my flesh is just loosely around that. Yeah, exactly.
"Oh, sorry, geez."
"It's all right."
"Yeah, good luck dragging him in for the bounty. But anyway, gotta go. It's been real.
It's been very good seeing you again. I'm sorry it wasn't on the best of terms."
"Oh my god. Next time? We gotta actually hang out. We gotta hang out.
Next time, high tea."
Okay. Makes sense. See you later. It's been cool. Bye, everybody. You haven't heard the last of Pesto Carbonara. That was my name if you forgot it. This is also not me forcing another guest spot on this. Bye!
Sounds like she was forcing another guest spot.
"You have probably heard the last of me."
And then he actually does.
Large chrome letters fill the screen and they say, "The end. Question mark?" And then it says Pesto Carbonara will return in weird times at Piss Harbor. But we fade now before the episode is completely over. Back to the Moonlight Value Bounty's headquarters, that treehouse. Maybelline Moonlight is shaking all of your hands and she's holding this large top hat and she's looking at the dead body on the ground. She goes, "Yeah, that's him, all right." She hands you a large novelty check for, I'm sorry to say, 60,000 gold.
"Wow.
So Maybelline, that was a huge exaggeration."
"From Ormond, not me.
Ormond. That
from
was like
Ormond.
An upside down mistake of a 6 to a 9. You know what I'm saying? Anyway.
Look, it's big of you to forgive the man, but this is all the money you got. Thank you so much."
And then she looks at Moose and says,
You want to fix my shower?"
Yeah. You want to make sure you have good flow."
"Yes. The pressure. Flow. The pressure
really
flow.
Good pressure.
Yes.
Is this part of it?"
"Strong pressure. Hot, strong pressure.
I need everybody but Moose to leave."
Neil lights a candle for them, for the vibe, and leaves.
But we haven't talked enough about the wife thing.
Eshika's dog knocks the candle over.
Novelty check goes up in flames.
And with it, all of the money that was inside of it.
"Oh no, no, oh, oh no, oh no, see you in 2 weeks, listeners of Rogue Tales of Magic."
That was Ali Fisher as Neil, Carly Minardo as Edgica, Christopher Hastings as Jonathan Large, Joe Lepore as Moose, Tim Platt as Tommy Whistle, and Branson Reese as everything and everyone else, with two exceptions. Woohoo! Root Tales of Magic is produced by Bucket of Milk, edited by Sam Grant, and sound designed by Kodiak Sanders, scored by Joe Lepore, with additional sound design from Michael Gelfi. As always, special thanks to Tyler Button and Sydney and Benjamin Paul. And a huge thanks to our guests, Jess O'Brien and Cohen Edenfield. Listen to their killer podcast, Skull Tenders. However you're listening to this one, you're in for a treat. It's a kick-ass podcast. I like it a lot. It's really good. I'm always so mean, but I like it. It's good. I should let some beauty into my life. A crow is pecking out my eyeball!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.